This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Sports. From State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is Waddle and Sylvie. WMVP Chicago.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Bears lose, and they don't look good against the Colts. I mean, that was a whipping. 19-11. It was a whipping. I know they had a chance to get a onside kick, cowboy style. Yeah, then, you know, always playing from behind with that crazy onside kick stuff they've been doing. But
yeah, that game was never close. That game was like, despite the fact that it was never more than a two-score game.
They whipped us.
And it ended up 19-11. It never felt like it was a close game, ever.
You're right. 312-332-3776. Talking a lot of Bears. We hit the Theo story earlier. No real big news out of that. He did keep open that he could stay for the rest of his contract, which is one more year through 2021. Or he's talking to Ricketts. He did not rule out leaving early. So that was that. We also have playoff baseball going on, Waddle. Is that what you were alluding to earlier?
Yeah. I thought Dusty left McCullers in too long.
And it's 5-3 Oakland, the team that eliminated the White Sox, leads Houston 5-3. That game is in the bottom of the fifth inning currently. And Bill O'Brien was fired today, not only as the head coach of the Houston Texans, but also as their GM. Remember, he was named their GM as well.
Yeah, I think Bill O'Brien, the GM, probably played a large role in Bill O'Brien, the coach, also being relieved of his duties.
But neither would I hire.
Okay.
I would not hire either job. And I got we mentioned this too. You addressed it. I got a lot of the snarky. Hey, it's why don't we just blame Mitch for all this? Because you
know, low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, like people thought that Nick Foles, like we had been pushing him up because he does know the offense, and I still believe that some of his low floor games can look like Shane Matthews, as I put it earlier. But we know the ceiling's higher because of what he did with the Super Bowl. Listen. We've always hit it. Waddle has always highlighted it. There's always been a play calling aspect to this. There's always been a personnel issue. There's been an offensive line issue here. Even with Mitch, we always took your calls and we are open to it. But for the Mitch, let's blame Mitch calls and tweets and that I got this weekend and the truthers out there, let's make this really simple for you. Mitch Trubisky ain't good. Okay, no matter how badly Nick Foles does fail, and he may fail, and the Bears are in no man's land as far as quarterbacks, but it's not because Mitch is a bad dude, it's not because he's a bad leader, but he just doesn't process it well, and he's never been a good quarterback. But that the Bears are in the situation they're in because of that reason. And we could all blame other stuff. But no matter how much you want to be sarcastic and snarky and say, oh, yeah, you guys don't have your whipping boy to go after today, Mitch ain't good. He's not good. And we can live in that lane, and we can all be snarky about it. But the point is, you spent the second overall pick on Mitch Trubisky in maybe the best quarterback draft ever. And that's why the Bears are where they are.
First thing I would say is your ears don't work. Because
No.
You're not yours. The people that you're referencing right now or you're talking to. Because if you've listened to this show now for a better part of a year, we've led the charge that he's not the only problem. We've also been out there to tell you that he's not the answer.
Yes.
And I think that both can be true.
They are true.
Okay. So, like, I mean, if that's your go-to, if that's all you got, then, you know, play your card. That's all you got. If that makes you feel better, you think like,
if I'm going to a poker game, Waddle, and I've got a Mitch card, I don't feel good about winning.
You said
money.
Mitch, right? You said
a Mitch card, yeah.
Like, I wish him well. He's a good kid. His teammates love him. He tries hard.
Ooh, you guys got a full house? Well, I've got the Mitch card.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, again,
who plays the Mitch card?
Again, if that was your burn, ooh, that was your burn, then A, your ears don't work. And your ears are connected to your brain, so maybe your brain isn't working right, because we've been telling you all along he ain't the only problem. But I'm with you as well. I mean, look, that ship sailed. Like I said to you guys, when you tweeted to us yesterday, and I stay off Twitter, good, bad, or indifferent, mostly on Sundays, because it's just an ugly environment a lot of times. But when you said what you said, hey, the truthers are out here, I tweeted back to you, look, I'll have a better feel for Nick Foles in a bit, but it won't take 45 games. I'll give you my full thoughts on it. It's not going to take me 45 games to come to my conclusions.
312-332-3776. And I don't think it started out well for Foles right after he took over for Carson Wentz either, the year that they won the Super Bowl.
I do believe that he will improve. I mean, you came into an environment, okay, you're playing based on DVOA, which I know the fellas think is the best stat. Weren't the Colts, not even afterwards, but they were the best defense in the league?
Yeah. Yes.
Into the game.
Yeah, they were.
I mean, so it was a stiff challenge. He wasn't very good.
Right.
He wasn't accurate. Right. He wasn't accurate, and I think he missed some reads. I think he'll get better.
No one's running from he wasn't good.
Right.
I'm scared because the Bears are in quarterback's no man's land.
Right. I think he will improve, but I think there's a ceiling to where he can ultimately be. Can he catch fire and win a Super Bowl with you? I would think it's less likely with this group than with the group he had in Philly. Remember, before Carson Wentz got hurt, he was the front runner for the MVP. Now, that speaks a lot about Carson Wentz, but it also talks about the talent that was on that team.
Yes, because they've really not been the same offense.
What year was that?
2017?
These Bears offensive players are not the 2017 Eagles players.
Right, because then they played again in the playoffs in 18 when the Bears were good. And then Foles again, like, it wasn't pretty with Foles against the Bears until he led them 60 yards for the go-ahead touchdown.
Right.
The Bears defense did a good job against them.
Mm-hmm.
Gideon and Niles, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Gideon?
Hey, guys. Sylvie, first off, congrats on the remission.
Thank you.
Praying for you. Also, happy, healthy new year to you and your family.
You too.
Thank you. I have had a sty before. Just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah, good sty conversation.
Yeah. I had to go to the eye doctor like 5 times. Anyway, my point about that, about the Bears, was I don't know if I trust anyone to hire a new GM if we get rid of Ryan Pace. Back when we hired Ryan Pace, we had to bring in Ernie Accorsi.
Right.
We need someone who's the kind of guy, I was going to say a John Paxson, but like John Paxson isn't what you want. You need like a president of football operations who's kind of ingrained in the building. So that's what the Bears need, and then that person needs to go and hire a GM who actually knows how to assemble a good football team, someone who's done it before.
Right. Gideon, look, we say, why haven't the Bears had a good quarterback in their history? And a lot of it has to do with what you just said, that when you have a guy drafting who was hired by Ted Phillips, who has missed people, like, they have not identified whether it was Phil Emery, whether they didn't know to hire Bruce Arians versus Mark Trestman. You know, when you have to make, when you don't trust Ryan Pace to pick the next quarterback, okay, so then who hires the general manager? You trusting Ted Phillips again? I mean, like, to hire another GM after Emery and Pace?
Yeah, the track record isn't good.
And that's where you fall to. And that's why you have this year in and year out issue that we keep talking about.
And listen,
when they don't have a good offense.
Let's like, I go back to 18, and that offensive line was, I think, was above average. Kyle Long was healthy. The guys were younger. I think they rushed for 1,900-something yards. I think Mitch was well protected. I think between Mitch and Chase Daniel, they only gave up, I want to say, 33 sacks, which is pretty damn good. So I thought the offensive line was solid there.
And the defense was so much better, so you had more room for error.
That's the point I'm making, is even that year, I think they were like 24th in the league in offense in terms of yards per game. They did what they did in 2018 three quarters of the reason they did that was because their defense was historically good. So, like, I can go back to the 2018 season from the halfway point on and find things with regard to the offense that scare the hell out of me.
Right.
So you're going on, this is almost going to be 2 years. Like, they did some really nice things early in the first half of that season. Then Trey Burton got hurt. Then people kind of had some film on Mitch. Then the offense, if you remember in 2018, I don't know all the numbers, but they tailed off, didn't they?
Yes.
And then they picked up where they left off in 19 offensively. So it's been a good year and 9 months.
And all you've asked for is average. We're not asking for them to be a top 10 offense. Rozzy and Elgin, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Rozzy.
Hey, guys. The thing is, I'm one of those blame Mitch tweets that you're talking about. And the reason I do that is because I want you to think that I know the old. No. Think back. I know about the old regime, but how many chances did we give Jay Cutler? How long after did we bench Jay Cutler? Is the thing is, when Mitch first came to this team, we didn't have Nagy. We didn't have an offensive mind head coach. We had John Fox. John freaking Fox. Are you kidding me? You're going to bench a second pick overall quarterback for a poor man, Trent Dilfer. That's what makes me mad. It's like, oh, you want to blame Mitch for all the issues. Where's the defense? Where's the defense?
Well, time out. That's where with this conversation, I got to stop it. Again, if you're calling this show and that's your beef, then it's a misguided beef because there's been nobody on this show for a year that has blamed solely the quarterback. So that you're swinging at ghosts right now, Rozzy, because there's been nobody here that has said Mitch is the only problem. Nobody. But you just said the same thing now that you're copying to yesterday in terms of a tweet. Like, nobody here has put this all on the plate of Mitch. So to me, it's kind of it's a straw man argument. I don't know. Like, I'm frustrated the same way you are. But like, when you call us and you say everyone is only blaming Mitch, well, you've called the wrong show. That's all I'm saying.
Is Rozzy still there to counterpoint?
Yeah, I'm still here.
How do you counter that, Rozzy?
I get what you're saying, but like it seems like you're gonna go ahead and take out all the blame on Mitch. The offense is struggling, defense is struggling. Like he's your scapegoat.
Didn't hear what I said. Is the point? That's why I said like anyone.
He's your scapegoat.
He's not. I've been telling you for over a year that he's not the only problem, but you're not hearing it. I don't know why it's your default. It's a lot of people's default, so I'm not just singling you out.
Rozzy, do you think Mitch is good, honestly? Just to answer that question, is Mitch a good quarterback?
Mitch is an okay quarterback. I think if you give him more chances, he will be a good quarterback. He is an okay quarterback. He was averaging 2 touchdowns a game. I even tweeted that. He was averaging 2 touchdowns a game. You bench a 3-0 quarterback? Okay, win is a win in the NFL. It doesn't matter how you get it, how bad that win is. A win is a win.
I remember this tweet. You said,
it's a win.
Yeah, you said you tweeted us and said that if the Bears would have started Trubisky because he has 2 touchdowns a game, you just automatically slot those 2 touchdowns in. Just automatically. He's automatic for 2 touchdowns against the best defense in the league, right?
Well, you never know. He scored 2 touchdowns a game. He's been scoring 2 touchdowns a game. He's had a first 2 drives. I don't know if it's true or not. I don't want to say anything false, but I've been watching the game. But hasn't he scored on the first few drives every game?
Who, Mitch?
Yeah.
No, that was their issue last year. Was their first drive was garbage.
And last year, Mitch threw 17 touchdown passes in 15 games.
I don't want to say anything that's false, but he had 30 touchdowns last year.
That's false.
Is it?
That's false.
Rozzy, thank you. Thank you.
Again, this is my point. Is that
you guys want me to hit it for him?
I'm with everybody says it's not just
Rozzy.
It's not just the quarterback. But didn't he just? He said what he said, and then he went back to the same line, didn't he? Did he go back and
that
say
that was the funniest part?
Is that Mitch? You're just using Mitch as a scapegoat. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
You leave them out.
That's what I just said.
Leave them out of this.
You too can get scolded by Waddle. 312.
Well, if you're
going to
bring that crap here, then you are.
3776. Waddle waves the Dikembe finger at you next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
A lot of great Bears Monday calls. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Want to take Louie in Virginia Beach. Louie, are you going to go at Waddle here, or are you going to love Waddle here?
Come on. Oh, man, I love Waddle.
I love you too, Louie.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Sylvie, congratulations on the remission, man. Prayers work, man. I'm so happy for you.
Thank
and
you,
Tom,
Louie.
It's always a pressure. Always a pressure to talk to you guys.
Thanks,
So I think my Bear rant for the day. I think the number one issue with this team, and you can put it in one word, and that's discipline. And it all starts with the head coach. He gets himself into, you know, if his plan, a scripted plan, does not go according to if the game goes and his script is not working, he does not adapt. He sticks with his script. He's trying to keep putting the square peg in the round hole all day long. And when I also talking about discipline, it's like the receivers. I don't know how you're going to get a first down if you're not going to run past the sticks and make your cut, especially against a good defensive tackling team like the Colts. You're not going to get a first down. Same thing as discipline. Cordell Patterson taking off his helmet and getting stupid penalties.
Yeah, that was
you know, and I think it. I think Nagy gets to the point where he's such a player-friendly coach that I think, and you can see it through the years, that the discipline in this team and with the penalties and everything is starting to escalate. So, you know, there's a little bit of lack in the discipline, and I think if they get back to it, they can turn that into positives. And my final thing I want to say to you guys, and for the truth that's out there, Mitch Trubisky is not even close to a Jay Cutler, so please stop. Have a nice day. Take that.
Ooh, he gave us a take that as well.
Like, I'm
not even going. Like,
Cap
I'm not
was
even...
ranting at Cutler today. That's why he's like.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was.
Why?
Cutler, because someone called and said,
"Bring
back Cutler."
This dumb leader BS, where he's like the worst
really?
Leader
now,
ever.
He was referencing Devin Hester's comments about Jay being the worst
leader.
Maybe
because Devin Hester couldn't catch a ball of his life depended
or run
on
routes.
Oh yeah.
We know Jay had some not great leadership qualities.
There were a lot of guys that loved Jay. There were other guys that did not. He was polarizing even inside his own locker room.
The one thing I'll give Jay credit for is every time we did that show, the Jay Cutler show, and every time the Devin Hester ran the wrong route or didn't know which side of the field to line up on, that not one time did Jay Cutler ever call out Devin Hester.
No,
he protected him and that he actually went to bat for him with the routes. So, yeah, Jay had a lot of faults as a leader, but the one thing he never did was circle Devin Hester and explain why he was a bad number one receiver.
That's a fair statement.
Brandon in Franklin Park. Hey, Brandon, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, Waddle. Hey, Sylvie. Sylvie, congratulations. Great news.
Thanks,
I had a family
Brandon.
Member actually go through it and actually got the same kind of results as you. So,
well, congrats,
God bless
Brandon.
Both of you guys. You know, I hate to pick on him because, you know, you just can, but I have to use him as the example. One of the first things David Kaplan said this morning was, oh, I guess it's not just Mitchell Trubisky who's bad. I guess it's the whole offense. I've listened to your show and Carmen and Yurko's every day for the last, I don't know how many years, because it's great. It's great radio. And you guys are always honest with each other and everybody else. It's easier to replace a mediocre quarterback than it is to replace five mediocre, subpar offensive linemen, to take every wide receiver and every tight end out and replace them with new people. I don't think any one of you guys or any sports writer, if there's one thing people have been consistent on, it's, hey, Trubisky's not that good, but let's not pretend that the offense is really that good to begin with either at times. I think it's ridiculous these people who come to the support and then, again, just hear what they want to hear. And I think it's absolutely ridiculous because you guys have been honest about it from day one. Waddle, you more than most. You came out at least over a year ago. That great phrase you always have, it's like putting a Band-Aid on a head wound. And basically right now, that's all they were hoping to do with Foles, and it's not even doing that right now. So I'll hang up and listen, but you guys have a great show. And again, Sylvie, congratulations. Glad for the great news.
Great call. Really good call.
And listen, today it's not even about Mitch versus Foles.
Well, like, we're just addressing the people who do bring
right.
that instead of rooting for the Bears, they're almost rooting for Foles to fail. And again, like, I don't believe that Foles is that great. There's a reason he's been on six teams. He's the definition of a journeyman. He has never started a full season. We don't have this these grand plans for Nick Foles. He's holding the place, but he does know how to read a defense. He does know how to check out of a bad play.
He knows
where
to
go with the football and go through the progressions, right?
Yeah, I mean, again, as I said to you before the game last week, he knows where the ball is supposed to go 99% of the time. It may not get there. And Matt Nagy's been wanting to run his offense. You may decide after 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 5 weeks, you may have already decided you don't like his offense. But he's been waiting to open up the book and run his offense with a quarterback that he trusts. Again, Nick's got a ceiling. But he trusts, so do the other coaches.
I don't think Nick does have a ceiling, because here's the difference. I believe Nick's floor is low. Like, his floor is Rams low. He could be bad. He was almost out of football.
But that was by his own choosing as well.
But again, look, the ceiling, Waddle, has been 27 touchdowns and 3 interceptions in Chip Kelly's offense and a Pro Bowl berth. The ceiling has been winning the Super Bowl MVP. The ceiling's been high.
Yeah, but
the
he's not going to be great.
Well, 27-3 is great in my book. The floor is the problem. Too often, Nick Foles hits a rock bottom. Like, again, Jacksonville, he was 0-4. He got hurt early. But again, he didn't start a lot of games when he was supposed to be the answer. With the Rams, the floor was really low under Jeff Fisher. You know, Kansas City, he was a third-string quarterback. But again, there have been times when he's reached a pretty high ceiling.
My point, though, is that's a fair rebuttal. But my point is that if you think you're getting Aaron Rodgers, you're not.
Right, right.
If you think you're getting an upper echelon quarterback, you're not.
He's not available if he's Aaron Rodgers.
Correct.
He's not on six teams if he's Aaron Rodgers.
They brought him in because they're comfortable with him and they trust him.
Yes.
You're right. When
the light goes on for him, it could go on if he's comfortable.
But he's got to be surrounded with quality.
Yes, of course.
Like all quarterbacks.
So I listened a lot this morning to Cap and Jay Hood. I was unaware that Cap came out and he was now promoting Trubisky after last week. He said,
"Take that, Mitchell Trubisky."
Sylvie, were you listening the day? Were you here the day when we were talking about Cap completely?
Take that. Mitchell Trubisky.
No, because that was Monday.
That was Monday. Okay. I mean, I thought we ended this. I thought it was, you know, we said goodbye to Cap and the Trubisky thing, right?
Was he promoting Mitch to start this week?
Isn't that what the last caller just said? That was Cap's opening statement today? Is, you wanted to bag on Mitch, right?
I missed the beginning part, but yes. Like, again, like, we know that what Mitch... We've gotten the Mitch answer, unfortunately, and it's going to haunt us for years.
He just can't let go of his guy.
It doesn't mean that we've said that these answers are going to be, or these questions are going to be answered.
Somebody that says it, Rozzy said it, if Cap said it, anybody else said, well, I guess Mitch wasn't the only problem, then I guess you weren't listening.
No, I know.
Because there were 1,000 people screaming that he is a problem, he's not the only problem.
Take that. Mitchell Trubisky.
What about the birds and goldfish and everybody he wanted to apologize to last year, then it got banned?
Goldfish, dog, cat, bird.
Yeah, the banned audio, yeah.
What is he, Dr. Doolittle?
Bird,
Doolittle?
Cat, dog,
goldfish.
Talking to animals now?
Dog, goldfish.
All right, I could smell Mark Jean Greco in the
good
first
call.
Midwest
Bank
Studio.
He's got some nice cologne on.
He looks like Theo, too. He's all masked up and everything. That's
he smells like
good.
Disinfectant.
All right, we'll talk to Marky. We'll take your calls with Mark Jean Greco, 332-3776. It's all coming up next.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Silva on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Let's go! ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen.
Mark Gene Greco joins us right now, Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. He's brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse, LaSalle and the River. David Flom, Maddie Moore, going to roll out the red carpet for you. You're going to have some great steak, awesome appetizers.
How about some nice red wine?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can swing me over to the wine boat.
Yeah.
I'm almost ready to go over there.
Dirty martini?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm sure they have the space heaters over there.
I've had so many of those. I have an olive in my urine sample.
Excuse me? What?
What? It's not only Monday morning quarterback, it's Monday morning coach today.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Dump on Nagy. Dump him. No, it's ridiculous. I mean, it just, this obviously has exposed Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, moreover. And I'm not worried about Nick at all. He just needs to develop chemistry and get more snaps, that's all. And can we please bench Anthony Miller for a minute and maybe activate Riley Ridley and see what he's got? Because Darnell Mooney has got a lot of promise. And where's Wims? He's got size. I don't know why they're staying with Miller right now. I would experiment, really.
Well, he did catch the game-winning touchdown last week. I mean,
I don't care. You know, you're only as good as your last game, and last game was crap.
He's been very inconsistent, I will give you that.
Super inconsistent. Super inconsistent.
Well, I mean, there is so much potential there. You watch him on film, and he does do a nice job at times with routes. He does do some things to keep you coming back.
I know.
I like the kid Mooney. I'd like to see a lot of other guys. I'd like to see Cole Kmet get more snaps. I'd like to see Javon Wims get some more play.
Maybe it's because he punched Nagy in the chest at practice. Maybe he's not getting.
Yeah, I don't know why. Listen.
Can we please not have Cordarrelle Patterson running the football?
Yeah, I don't get that fascination.
Or going deep for a pass.
Like he's
a straight up runner. Montgomery didn't get enough carries, but the O line is the issue. They're on roller skates all day yesterday. And they ran into, like you said on Twitter, I was following you yesterday, big boy defense.
That's the first big boy defense they've faced.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive line, go back and watch them against the Falcons. It was not very good. This was bad.
And Xavier Rhodes looked like an all-pro again. He was Velcro to the Bears
last year with the Vikings.
But he's gotten
better.
It together, you know, and I love their secondary. But I don't know. I don't know what you do. That O-line is terrible. Nick's going to be fine, but you got to protect him. You know he's going to get hurt now, and then it's going to be Mitch, and it's
going to
be all over it. And I love social media, everybody going, well, Mitch would be more entertaining in a loss. And I'm like, what? Is that where we are now?
See, listen, here's where coaching comes into play, okay? I know Matt's been waiting for a long time to run his offense. If you didn't already know that your personnel won't allow you to do what you want to do, it was on full display yesterday against a good Colts defense. So now what the coach needs to do, okay, you've got the quarterback you trust. You've got the offense, majority of the schemes. You're going to have to tailor it to some of the limitations you have at other positions.
Right.
You can't get out there and just cut it loose and go, this is my offense, this is what I came here to do, when your talent can't keep up with it. So, I mean, this is where a coach has to make the appropriate adjustments, and this is where you actually coach.
On a short week.
Yeah.
And you've got 2 weeks in a row now where he is saying in his postgame news conferences, in his Monday news conference, yeah, I'd like to have that playback. I didn't like that play call. I should have done something different. Don't, you know, emphasize your mistakes. And as you said, you now have to tailor it to the talent you have, not what's in your brain, what's in your fantasy, what you want to do. Now, stats-wise, we talked about this off the air, the Buccaneers actually have a better run defense
they do
than the Colts, stats-wise.
Yeah.
So
they're going to sling it then 40 times 30.
Well, listen, Frank Reich came out and said in his post-game press conference, he said, like, I'm very proud of my guys. We came in here with a simple plan, stop their run, and force, you know, he just said that's what we were going to do. He didn't say force them to throw it on us, but that's obviously that's what he meant.
Sure.
We're going to stop the run and force them to beat us through the air. We don't think that they can do it.
One thing is a positive out of all this, that Nick Foles is not going to get rattled. He's not going to be upset. You know, he's not going to go crazy. I mean, he's so level-headed. He's a pro, and he'll get it together. He'll do his part. I'm not worried about him at all. But we have much bigger issues now around him, which makes it worse. I mean, as you said, it wasn't just Mitch. Nobody was listening for the past 2 or 3 years, if that's what you're arguing about, you know?
Right. Let's take some calls. A lot of people want to talk to you, Mark. Wade in New York. Wade, you're on with Mark Gene Greco. Say hello.
Hello. Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Wade, where are you in New York?
I'm in Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, well.
Brooklyn, New York. But I'm a big Chicago Bears fan. I've been a Bears fan since the 85 Bears.
Cool.
Nice.
Well, Walter Payton, Wally Sylvie, I love your guys' show. And Wally, I definitely followed you all the time because you're a Bears.
All right.
All the time and everything.
Nice.
But I must admit, I was stressed out watching the Bears. Well, this time I had to watch it on radio, listen on radio, and I just see a pattern just with Nagy, and just I'm just not a fan of his offense and what he does. He needs to be a little bit more creative, because I'm looking at Cole Kmet, that tight end. I'm like, why is he not utilizing him? At least surprise people. Mm. Throw a couple of plays to him, because the kid can do it if you give him a chance. I mean, as far as Anthony Miller, I love Anthony Miller, but he's dropping the ball, and I agree with you. Maybe it's time to go another direction. Just let him sit a couple of games so he can get that fire back. But in terms of that offensive line, I'm really upset with the Bear management in terms of they should have got that Saints guy. I can't think of his name. That offensive lineman that was available, they should have pulled all the stops out and got that guy, because they need somebody that got that. Me, like the way Long was on that offensive line in the beginning, he was a piece. And you they sure? need that offensive line to get back to that.
Are you sure you weren't born in Chicago and just moved to New York?
I wish I was. I wish I was.
It's better than rooting for the Giants or the Jets, man. So welcome aboard.
Yeah, that's true.
All the time.
By the way, you can actually watch radio on Twitch.
You can. Okay. That's a good point.
Right now.
That's a good point.
I'm going to try it next time.
Okay, man.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, I mean... Look, again, this is I think, as I said earlier today when we first came out, the offense has got issues. They're personnel issues, and I think right now they're coaching issues as well. I thought Matt did a really nice job when the season started. He decided Mitch was going to be the starter. He tailored the offense to him and tried to kind of conceal some of his limitations. Under center more. Committed to running the football. A lot of the passes are off of run action. Well, now you got Nick Foles out there. You want to run your offense, but you're going to also have to tailor it to the personnel around him. You're not going to be able to do everything here with this group that you maybe want to do. This is where a coach is tested, and he's going to have to clean up some things for sure.
In the meantime, what about the defense? I mean,
said that today's not the day. Like,
okay.
Mac's got to make the interception, and yes, Eddie Jackson's missed tackles. He had a pass interference, but
a lot
19
of missed
points.
Tackles.
Yeah, 19 hey, points, Mark.
And Mac made the interception, they would have gotten three. They never would have got a touchdown. You know that. You know that, don't you?
No, you're right, but he's got to make that play.
Yeah.
And then we were wondering earlier, too, about... Quinn is play. He played 44% of your snaps. Is he out of shape? What's going on with Quinn right now? You didn't pay him all that money to play him 44%.
Mm-hmm. I think you're getting back. Like you said earlier, I think the guys JD and Dan Weider, I think, told us pretty consistently he wasn't out there a lot.
No,
right?
He wasn't out there at all in the preseason, and then he had the ankle injury.
So you know he's a guy who's north of 30. So you're probably easing him in now.
Yeah, and the injury wasn't really disclosed till later because the front office didn't want to take the heat for signing an injured player. And so we didn't really know anything about him during his rehab
I'm fairly confident he'll get it cranked up at some point, maybe later in the season, like at the halfway point on. You may, at the end of the year, say, hey, Robert Quinn had a better second half to the season than the first half of the season. And it's imperative because you spent a lot of money on him, and he's important to them.
All right. I know Shoddy, Tony, Chris, we'll get to all of your calls. Marky is in studio again. He's brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. The phone number to reach us, 312-332-3776. I also want to ask Mark what he thought about what Theo Epstein had to say today. All that coming up next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Mark Greco in studio with Waddle. You can watch it all on Twitch. Yeah. Marky told you, it's twitch.tv/ESPN1000.
And by the way, Sylvie, if you are watching on Twitch, you'll notice I'm blinking more than usual. I feel like a cat.
Why?
I have contacts for the first time in my life. My eyes look like marbles. Don't they look weird? But anyway.
You have marbles on your face.
You've never had contacts?
I've never worn glasses until this year.
Mark's got marbles on his face.
Did you get colored ones like you're a junior in high school?
I should. But thanks to the people at Solo Eye Care on South Michigan, they're awesome. But it takes a little while to get used to them. It took me a while to learn how to put them in. But it's kind of weird.
Donald's got a sty from wearing contacts.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, you want one?
How about washing your hands?
But that's not how it happens. You know? That's not how it happens. It's not pink
eye. What, you're trying to do tequila shots and missed your mouth?
It's not pink eye. It's a sty.
You get styes.
This whole place is a sty.
You get a sty from a lack of like...
It's because you live in a pigsty. You got a sty.
You're not being clean or something like that.
Yeah,
just
it is.
Get them. Yeah. Okay. What wives' tale are you guys? No, you know what you get it from poop in your eye. You get it from poop in your eye. Someone pooped in my eye.
You got poop in your
Matt
eye.
Matt Nagy and Nick Foles pooped in my eye yesterday, and now I have a sty.
Wow, that happened quickly.
Marky, we want to take calls, but really quick, do you have a thought on anything Theo said today?
A cogent thought? Not really. Look, he tried to quell the speculation, sort of. I mean, he left it wide open. After he meets with Ricketts, I mean, he could very well walk with a year left on his deal, as everybody has been speculating for weeks and weeks and weeks, and, you know, take on a new challenge and, you know, or just retire early and wait till he goes to the Hall of Fame. But, yeah, I mean, he could still leave. I mean, he didn't say anything definitive today and obviously can't until after he meets with Ricketts. But it sounds like... maybe I'll stay, maybe I won't. We'll see if he still wants me. We'll see if I still want to be here. And then he's saying, well, you know, I'm committed right now.
Why wouldn't
Meaning
he want
he's
to
committed today?
Why wouldn't
Monday.
He want to fill, you know, fulfill the final year of his contract? Why would he want to leave? What is out there for him?
They've had him cut his staff. Maybe he's not happy with payroll.
Ricketts is screaming, we're out of money, we're suddenly broke.
Right.
Yeah, he's just like, you know what?
Well, they don't want to give Jed the job.
And he's already got paid. Well, if Jed deserves the job.
Right.
Should be promoted. I don't think that's an issue. Why would Theo be so petty and say, I don't want him to have the job?
No, the opposite. Mark. Yeah, I'm saying that if Ricketts says, well, look, we don't want to promise the job to Jed. If you're leaving, we're going to keep it open. Mm-hmm. I think Theo's actually negotiating to get Jed as his successor.
That's a good point. Yeah, I think so. And it makes sense, right? Is anybody opposed to that? No.
I think that you keep it
continuity.
Yeah, yes, yeah. And they've had success. I know they've not been perfect, far from it. But
the door is wide open. The screen's broken. It's unlocked. Everything. Yeah. So,
Shoddy in Riverside, you're on with Mark Jean Greco. What's up, Shoddy?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to quickly talk about Foles in terms. I'm with Waddle and Mark on this. Give Foles. Couple of games, you know, I'm not worried about him at all, and let's see what happens where we go from there. And I know we got a big season left, you know, a lot of season left, but unfortunately, there's a theme that's been common on today's radio, and talking about there's not enough help. It wasn't just Trubisky. That all falls back on one person, guys. That's Ryan Pace.
Right.
You know, and I truly believe, you know. If the Bears don't reach the postseason this year, I think Pace has got to go. I mean, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I'm tired of hearing about, oh, well, he hit on Eddie Jackson. Eddie Jackson hasn't been relevant in 2 years. I mean, let's be serious. I mean, I don't know. Yesterday was just super frustrating as a Bears fan to watch. I mean, there's not enough help. And, you know, Waddle, you guys been seeing it. There hasn't been enough help in a long time, you know, for Trubisky. It's not just Trubisky, and that goes back on Pace. You know, that goes back on Pace. Nagy hasn't had enough time to groom these guys and really coach them up. But I think we got to reset. If we don't make the playoffs this year, reset, reload with the new GM. Let's go to work with Nagy. Thanks for taking my call.
Mark, what I brought up, I thought that was a good call, Shoddy, is that I'm worried that, again, we don't have our forever quarterback. And are you really going to trust Ryan Pace to go out and draft another?
Well, you have to trust Mitch to have Matt Nagy to have input because he wasn't there when Pace drafted Mitch. So now you put the blame on both of them if they don't get a good quarterback in the draft. Depends on where they get it, everything else, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, we were saying this before. Let's all remember that 3-0 was papier-mâché. That was fake. That was a phony 3-0. You're not playing anybody. you're starting a an uncertain season with no preseason and limited training camp. Forget having been 3-0. We've hit reality now, and they're going to lose.
They beat Tampa they're going to lose Thursday night.
They're going to lose.
It looks that way, but I wouldn't pick them. That's for sure.
Okay, I'm not picking the Bears. I didn't pick them against the Colts. I'm not picking them against the Bears.
I know, like, I did
the quarterback
pick them,
change.
Actually.
I think was coming. It was just a matter of time. And with the benefit of hindsight, I think you can make an argument that if you were willing to pull Mitch after 2.5 games, you should have just started Nick, and Nick could have gotten some of this rust knocked off theoretically against lesser opponents. But, Sylvie, when I'm talking about Nick needing help, do you realize in that Super Bowl year, they averaged 4.5 yards per carry, and defensively they had 38 sacks and 31 takeaways? Like, I mean, the only point I'm making about Nick is he can elevate his game. He's one of these guys that needs help like most quarterbacks in the league.
Right.
And they only sacked 36 quarterbacks in 2017 when they won the Super Bowl. So you're going to have to support him. Like in that year as well, you had Alshon had a really good year. He only had 800 yards receiving, but he had 9 touchdowns. Zach Ertz had 8 touchdowns. Nelson Agholor had 8 touchdowns as well. Trey Burton was a factor in that season as well. My concern is that even with Nick in there and you trust him and you try to run him in this offense, they don't have anything close offensively to what the Eagles even had that year. So I'm just concerned at how high the ceiling is with Nick. There's still going to be a ceiling in 2020. That's why my battle cry all along has been be average.
Tony in New Jersey, you're on with Mark Gingreco. What's up, Tony?
Yeah, hi. I agree with the last call about Ryan Pace. Ryan Pace ultimately needs to go, ultimately needs to hold the responsibility. Where is the Bears organization is right now? He put the organization in a precarious situation. When you look at the first-round picks in the past, Kevin White didn't work. Leonard Floyd didn't work. Mitch Trubisky didn't work with an asterisk. Because you look back at Mitch Trubisky, that's an important position. And he put that position, he's trying to save face with that. Go back to the quarterback we have now, $21 of $24 million guaranteed for a 31-year-old quarterback who's not the future. We now have one of the oldest defenses, if not the oldest defenses in the league. Where are we going with this team? In 5 years, we're going to, in 5 years from now, where are we going to be? So he's been here for 5 years. What have we been? If we're better in 5 years, or are we worse in 5 years? Ultimately, Brian Pace has to hold back.
Well, look, it takes the Bears a long time to make moves. It takes the McCaskey family a long time. Like Ted Phillips is going to be there forever. And, look,
they got rid of Mark Trestman and Phil Emery quickly. John Fox quickly.
Well, anybody saw that. I mean, that was. Remember
was
all
it
the talk
years
was.
For Foxy?
It was, we're going to think out of the box. Remember that? When they hired Trestman, we're thinking out of the box. Well, they quickly jumped right back into the box and sealed it up after that.
Listen,
you knew what was happening.
Listen,
there
when they made the trade for Khalil Mack, I still think it was a good trade. Because I look at Khalil Mack and what he's done with Mitch, those are two entirely separate conversations. But when you traded for Mack, gave up 2 first-round picks, and you gave him the extension you gave him, you basically, you gave away the opportunity for you to fix your quarterback problem if Mitch isn't the answer. When you traded for Mack, you lost all that flexibility, so Mitch had to hit. The quandary happens with regard to all of that when Mitch doesn't develop and become the player you need him to be. Now you're stuck because you had a hard, you've spent money and you didn't have the draft capital to get yourself out of the quarterback hole. That's why offensively you find yourself in this situation. When you went after Mack, good trade, but it really made it like certain that the quarterback had to be a home run.
Here. Mack was a given. He was a proven. And so that was to cover the mistake of Mitch. And then you screwed yourself both ways.
All right, so Bleck and Abdallah coming up. They're going to continue to take your Bears calls. 312-332-3776.
The football show? Is that what it is? The football show?
Yes, whatever you want show. But Bleck and Abdallah are going to entertain you.
It's the Sty show.
John, the Dirty Eyelid show.
It's the Poop in the Eye show.
All right.
I'm going to hose down the microphone here when I leave.
Poop in your eye and Bleck.
Thank you to Chicago Cut Steakhouse for bringing you Mark Gene Greco. Mark, have a great one. We'll talk to you Wednesday.
You got it, guys. See you.
All right. Bleck and Abdallah in 2 minutes. Thanks to them. For Marky and Waddle, I'm Sylvie. ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Monday night.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle.